So today we're going to complete Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, second half of the page. The topic that lies ahead of us today is understanding the ninth and last Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which is a debate as to what it was. We saw that the Mishnah, well, the Gemara had described that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had nine Takanas. We listed six in this perek, one in the previous perek, and we talked about the idea of there being this other Takana about Gerim. That Gerim is manazeh after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, that the Gerim would still set aside money for their cane, for a potential bird they could buy. So Shemir bought a Beis Hamikdash, and he was outvoted, he lost that Takana. So now we have a debate as to the last Takana. We're going to start from for Rav Papa and second V'idach. It is really in the middle of the page. First one, the line is Mipnei. Okay? Lamed Aleph on a base. Aleph on a base. In the middle it says V'idach. And the other one, meaning in the next Takona, Plugta, was an argument. It was an argument of De Rav Papa, V'Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. So they argued, the two Amoraim had different traditions as to who they could attribute this last Takona to. So Rav Papa Omar, meaning they had anonymous Takanos, and they both said that these Takanos were Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay, so that's their debate. Let's look at their different examples. So just the first on the line, we're up to Nachman bar Yitzchak is the first on the line. And I went out of them base. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa's suggestion is, Kerem Ravoi is the fourth year in the vineyard. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, Loshon Shal Zoharis, it is the red string. So these are the topics of this last Takana. Let's look at the examples. Rav Papa Omar, Keren Ravoi, the case is a case of the vineyard in his fourth year. Keren Ravoi, Haya Oile, Yerushalayim, Mahalach, Yom Lekol Tzad, V'zohi Tchuma. So what they would do is they would bring a Keren Ravoi to Yerushalayim, a day's walk on each side, and I'll describe it, V'zohi Tchuma. Eilat min Atzafon, Akravat min Adaram, Lud min Armara, V'yarden min Amizrach. So it describes the cities in every direction of Yerushalayim from where they would have to bring it in. Now, technically speaking, actually, this is not the way it usually works. The way it, just to recap, the way it works is that let's say you plant a new vine or fruit tree. So for the first three years, you can't eat its fruit, because that's called Arla. On the fourth year, you're not free yet. It's called Netar or Kerem Avoy, which means that you need to take that fruit and bring it to Yerushalayim to consume it. However, there was another alternative. It was very similar to Maaser Sheni. And what you could do is you could redeem it and bring the money to spend in Jerusalem as well, right? How far did you have to be? So technically speaking, on a biblical level, if you lived outside a walled city, so you lived in, let's say you lived in Yemin Moshe before Yemin Moshe existed, you could technically redeem your fruit and bring the money into Jerusalem, right? You didn't have, there wasn't a limit as how far you had to be to redeem your fruit. However, there was an early takana, which is recorded in this brisa, not as a takana, but just as is, that what they would do is they made a radius around Yerushalayim, that if you were within one day's walk of Yerushalayim, you could not redeem your fruit. You actually had to physically bring your fruit up to Yerushalayim to eat. And what's the reason for that? That's the Gemara's next question. V'amar Ula v'itemer Rabba Bar Ula. Ula or his son said, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rabbi Yochanan, Ma tam kedei la'ater shukei Yerushalayim b'peiros. In order that the shuks of Yerushalayim would be full of fruits. If everybody was just coming and bringing their money, then it's nice, it brings the economy of Yerushalayim, but in the end of the day, it doesn't affect the look of Yerushalayim. So that's the way things were. However, Vatanya, there's another brisa, Keren Ravoi Hoy L'Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer, who had a fourth year vineyard, and B'Mizrach Lud, on the east side of Lud. Where is Lud towards in regards to Yerushalayim? West. Today. Lud is westward, it's towards the coast. So if it's east of Lud, it means it is within that radius. Okay, so it's within the radius of the place he should have brought the fruits in. But Sad Kfar Tevi, near this area called Kfar Tevi, Ubikesh Rabbi Eliezer L'Afkir L'Aniyem. So what did he do? He wanted to be mafkir his fourth year of produce to Aniyim. Why? Let's think about what he's trying to do over here. Is the way the Rashi understands it is,
he doesn't have to bring
it. Right, it's too much of a tircha for him to bring it. He knows he has to, it's incumbent upon him to bring it all up. He says it's too much. I'm an older man.
It's like
I can't. Right. So he says I'm going to be mafkir it. I'm going to give it to the aniyim. The aniyim are going to now take it, and they'll bring it up to Yerushalayim. So they'll get a benefit that they'll get it at a better price, but they'll have to eat it in Jerusalem. It's a good cost benefit for them. It's a good cost benefit for me because the energy is necessary to bring it up. So clearly he's concerned about Keravoy within the radius. However, people said to him, Amrlo Tamidov, Rebbe kvar nimnu chavercha alecha vitiru. They said, your friend has already outvoted you. And who's that friend? Man chavercha, Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rav Papa asserts, who is this friend? Is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So what was the takon of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai?
That we can mildly
could
redeem it.
So it sounds like within the walk, they could redeem it after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because why? What's disappeared? The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and therefore the need, la'atar es Yerushalayim b'peiros, is no longer there. Okay, so when the Beis HaMikdash was there, then we had this idea that you wanted to make Yerushalayim look like a bustling and hustling for a market of fruit. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, he said we no longer have that need, therefore you didn't need to bring the Kerem Ravoi in, even within your day walk radius. Okay, so therefore, this Chavercha that they're referring to when they had the conversation with Rabbi Eliezer is in fact Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's what Rav Papa's assertion is. Okay, and that, and therefore we found the Takana as Rav Papa argues it. Interestingly enough, there's a whole discussion over here we're not going to get into right now, but just for further thought, is does Rabbi Eliezer hold Kitcha Rishon Le'Aseh Lavoy or not? Meaning, was the first Kedusha that Eretz Yisrael was made holy, is that eternal or not? And that affects what the deal that he's giving the aniyim is. Do they have to redeem it at a full price? Is that enough of a cost-benefit for them? There's a big discussion in Tosfos over here and Rashi as to the status of Kedusha, Kitcha Rishona, of the level of Kedusha of the land at this point in time. We're not going to get into it because it's a little complex for our timing. Another thing that we should bear in mind is that, generally speaking, if you decide to give something to tzedakah, you're not really allowed to renege on that. If you fully decide in your mind that you're going to give something to tzedakah, you can't just suddenly reverse out of that. So over here, so the Tori Eved and a number of the Mefarshim say that clearly Rabbi Eliezer hadn't fully 100% given his stamp of approval in his mind to be mafkir to the poor people, otherwise there's nothing he could do yet. There was no conversation to be had because he's giving tzedakah, so you can't reverse out of tzedakah if you decide to give tzedakah in your mind fully. And another interesting halachic tidbit over here is that they said to him, your friend. Now, Rabbi Eliezer is not the friend of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He's the next generation, which means he's a Talmud. So his students are saying, your friend Rabbi Eliezer is the one who made this takana. Generally, what you see from over here is that even if a Talmud is in the presence of, is called a colleague of his Rebbe, he may not have to be moiche, he may not have to interrupt them, it sounds like from Rabbi Eliezer. Even though it was a little bit of a downgrade of the kavod of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it was his Rebbe being described as his colleague. Nonetheless, in this particular case, he didn't have to interrupt them, which is an interesting lahalacha. This is brought, the Bach brings us lahalacha. Okay. That is Rav Papa's understanding of what the takone is. Let's go weiter. The next case over here is Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Omar, it's a completely different takana altogether. Lashon Shel Zohoris, the red string. Tatanya, this is not referring to what you can get at Kibbutz Rachel. What red string is this? Tatanya, Rebbe Rishona, how you koshim Lashon Shel Zohoris, or Pesach, or Ulam, Mibachutz. So it used to be that they used to tie a red string on the outside of the Beis HaMikdash building. And Hilbin, how you svechin, lo Hilbin, lo how you had seven. If it went white, they were happy. If they did not turn white, they were sad. What's this referring to? This is Yom Kippur. So what happened was is whether the process of tshuva had really been achieved through the Seira Mishtaleach. If that had really worked, it would turn white. If it really didn't work, that were yo, which is a possibility. They were terribly sad. Okay, so therefore hiskinu shiyukoshinos al Pesach ulam ibivnim. So they said, you know what? We're going to put it on the inside, right? So that people aren't going to be affected by psychologically by seeing whether it worked or didn't work. But you know what, they'd peek through and the doors would open and they would see what's going on. And then the same circumstance happened. If it was white, they were happy. If it was red, they were terribly sad. So the final takon, the final iteration is they would split the string up, tie half of it to the horns of the goat, half of it to a rock, and then they'll throw it over the cliff. Which means that therefore, how's it solved our problem?
They don't
know. Right, most people weren't there. This was by the valley, so therefore it was more of a private occurrence. Interestingly enough, the Torah Evans says that there was actually a fourth and earlier iteration of this minhag, and that was, that's not recorded in this brisa, is that they used to tie every individual, every family would tie a red string in their windows. But not everybody's would go white. So therefore, it would create a lot of pandemonium, because at the end of Yom Kippur, you'd see who got white strings and who didn't. So that's why they moved it to the temple. But when it came to the temple, then on a national level, people had the same sense. What's the problem over here, just in terms of what we're trying to fix? What's the problem over here?
If it turned red, then they're giving up. They give up.
Okay, so on the one hand, you could say the takana is.
And they figure they're finished.
Okay, good. So debating is the problem the sadness or the happiness? The Aruch HaNer says both. The point is that when we have a relationship with Hashem, we should never be at a point where we think we're done. You know, either for the good or the bad, because that you're no longer putting in effort. Meaning, the moment you think you're done, then automatically the relationship either stagnates or you give up on. And that's the danger that they're trying to avoid. And so therefore they reach this final iteration of it being on the horns and the rock. Good. So now, as you can see, there are various changes that are made to this process. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omar, who is this takana? Says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So it wasn't about Keren Ravoi. This last takana is, in fact, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who is doing this. Okay, which is interesting because this is before the end of the Beis Hamikdash, right? Yeah, right. Because this is while the Seira Mishtalech is still operating.
Good
question. We're going to get to that in a second.
Excellent. That was talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
Okay, exactly. So we're going to see that that's exactly our question. So now we're going to ask why each of them did not surmise like the other one. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, my time, Allah Omar, Kara Papa. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchak not identify the Kerem Ravai situation as being the last takon of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He responds. Rav Nachman Yitzchak defends himself by saying, "Isak atadach Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, chavero she Rabbi Eliezer mihava, rabbi hava." So he says he's part by exactly that point. Rabbi Eliezer was not a colleague of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai; he was a student. So how could they say your colleague, right? So there is what you see from over here. That's why he avoided saying that who is this unidentified chaver could not be Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai because he's not the colleague of Rabbi Eliezer. V'idach. There we go. Rabbi Papa says, So the Rabbi Papa responds by saying, no, the people presenting the case to Rabbi Eliezer, who said Chavercha were the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer. So they're not going to belittle their Rebbe by saying, your Rebbe's Rebbe, he's better than you. They're saying, your Rebbe's Chaver, because that was respectful to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, that's why they said it in such a way, and that's but it's still open that this person, this unknown maskin, could have been Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now we flip to the other side. Rav Papa, in defense of Rav Papa, my time of Amar Kareg Nachman ben Yitzchak. Why did he not choose the case of the Loshen Shel Zohoris? This red wool. Amar Lacha, I Salkadach Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Bimei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Mi Hava Loshen Shel Zohoris. Could it be, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was not around while this was operating? Why? V'atanya, kol shenas asher Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai me'av erzim shana. So apparently Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived a full life of 120 years. However, mem shana asak v'pragmatia, first 40 years he was involved in business. Mem shana lamad, for 40 years he learned Torah. Mem shana limeid, for 40 years he taught. And we know, V'tanya, there's another brazo which says, Mem shana kodem shenechra v'abayis, lo yaloshem shel zohoris malbin. So as you just pointed out, that for 40 years before the end of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, this operation of the Seira Mishtalech and this thread turning different colors didn't happen anymore. We were beyond that. Why? Elo me'adim. It got worse. It got redder. Right? There was a terrible omen that there was a destruction coming at this point in time. So it wasn't in operation. So it could not have been that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was making a takana to say where you put the string if this is not in operation on the first in the last time. One second. So And it says that when the base of interest was destroyed, that's when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made his takanos. It seems to be that we're at the last 40 years of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when we said v'limeid, that he taught, it was only during the time of teaching that he made his takanos. That was when he was sort of out his pouring of energy. So let's just do the math over here. If it's true that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is only making takanos in his last 40 years, and 40 years before the end of the Beis HaMikdash, the Seir was not in operation. There's no way he could be making his takanos at the time that the Seir was in operation, so it could not have matched up as being Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. In response to this, V'idach, Oizem Arboim Shona Delamad, Talmid Yoshev Divnei Rabbi Hava, V'Amma Milsav Yistaver Taimei, V'Kavua Rabbi Mishmei. So the Gemara says, you know what, you're right. During those 40 years that Rabbi Yochanan was a Talmud, before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, in the middle 40 years of his life, that was earlier than when the Seir stopped operating. And he said, look, people are still getting upset because they can see it through the door. And that's when he said to his Rebbe, why don't we do it in such a way? Tie it to the horns, tie it to the rock. And his Rebbe said, what a great idea. Let's make that takana. And his Rebbe made a takana bishmoy, in the name of his Talmud. Why could Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai not make the takana himself? Because he was a Talmud. He was stuck. He didn't have the due restriction yet to do it. But his Rebbe, who did have the due restriction, said, that's a fine idea, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And he made the takana in his name before the time that he was regularly making takanas, which is how we have this other possibility. So it's Rabbi Nachman by Yerzak of the takanas. Excellent. We're going to hold here. And tomorrow, Mr. Shemot Ula is ahead of us, is understanding the setup of the Shemona Esra and Rosh Hashanah and moving into the how the tekiyos operate during the davening and during the Shemona Esra. Yeah.